Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum. And Ramadan Mubarak for all the Muslims who are fasting. Yes, may the peace the only God has be with you. This is author Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author of the book Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Yes, Imam Alfred has given me the Wednesdays to talk about recovery and how we can get back on track to a life that we say we want. This is my part, probably eight of this series on recovery, and we have a good time today. By the way, before I get started, at the very beginning of this series, I talked about my background and what I went through, but sometimes people have not heard that, so I'm going to go through that again today, all right, so you can know Nazim Rashid. All right, my story. My story is unlike a lot of stories that people tell when they're personal development specialists. They talk about a lot of times alcohol, drug abuse, a lot of violence in the home, abandonment, some incest, a lot of things going on, terrible things, you see. And my situation, it wasn't anything like that. If you look back as an observer in my family, it was more like Leave It to Beaver. You know, we wore nice clothes all the time. There was no fighting. There was no alcohol, no drugs, no profanity. Went to church every Sunday. All right, we're like the picture-perfect family. All right, always ready for a pose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very. So it appeared like there were no problems there. You see, I had an older brother, and it seemed like everything was okay, just the older brother and two parents, both parents, yeah. Father worked all the time. Mother was a housewife. Yeah, and everything was taken care of, you know. Yeah, there was no mention of money or lack thereof, you see. And so everybody was happy. You think everything just fine. So what's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we don't realize that inside, when the curtain closes, that's when you start seeing issues happen. Now, I'm going to tell you the story as it was. I'm going to retell a story. And this is one thing I want everybody to do with their own personal story, is to learn how to retell your story so you don't constantly, live the life of darkness and dismay. And what happens when you start living that old life, that's how your life becomes. Your present becomes your present. Your past becomes your present and your future. You don't want that. No. So the whole idea of retelling your story is remembering what happened and just reframe it. Because, you know, think about it. What happened in the past formed the building blocks for what you are right now. You see? And it's very important to understand that. See, we're still living. See? So we can start right there. A lot of people who went through what we went through are not here anymore. God took them. They're not here. But we're still here. You see? And that's important. That's important to understand. That's important to understand that. And so that's why we have to always be in appreciation for what happened in the past. Now, we don't like the details of what happened to us, no. But appreciate what happened because that built us up for what we are today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my situation, problem was there was no validation in the family. No validation. My parents were uneducated, basically, you know, farmers from the South and Mississippi, and they didn't know how to validate and emotionally care for the children. They didn't know how to do those kind of things. You see, so, you know, if there was a problem, they just, you know, take out the belt and spank you down. You see, so it was a very militaristic kind of thing. That's what how a lot of us grew up, you know, fear of the belt. You know, so they didn't know. And I came out very sensitive. I was an artist. You know, I came out as an artist. I'm also a jazz musician. And so this is why it's important to understand that some people, some babies need more nurturing than others. Your parents understand that. All babies are not the same. Kind of like when you, pass down hand-me-downs from an older child to the younger child. You see, all children come out differently. So we have to ask ourselves, God, what did you give me here in this divine little package here? What did you give me? How am I supposed to treat this one here? See, all size does not fit all, you know? So you know, my parents didn't know that. So I didn't have any validation at all. So I had a brother that was kind of berating and belittling me all the time, making me feel less, you know, less than human. And so I had no connection to life. Yeah, I didn't have any purpose. You know, I kept wondering and asked, why was I born? Why did you have me? You see? And I was suicidal. You know, I was, you know, we had a two-story flat in Chicago. And when I was up there with my brother, I guess, on a roof, I contemplated, you know, where would I jump off to make sure there'd be no chance of survival? Because I didn't want to be here anymore. I had no connection to life. None. There were no mentors, no special one that kind of saw something in me. There was no one that took a special interest in me. So I had no connection to life, none at all. So I wanted to end it all at an earlier age. It was very depressing. Now, outwardly, I had all the one-liners. I was a comedian in the family. And so you would never know there were any problems whatsoever, because I was always quick with the one-liners, you know. And but beneath that, there was a troubled child there. So I went through that. And in my teenage years, I found drugs. That was a fantastic thing then. Yeah, I finally found something that made me feel good. I had a great sense of myself then, so I thought. I felt good then. Started getting rebellious, and I joined a band, playing professional. I had some change in my pocket, had the drugs and the girls. I was really doing well. Yeah, fantastic, you know. All right, then I started dealing. Yeah, I might as well sell it and make some more money. Yeah, as I got older. But then every so often that depressive thought would come through there, you know, and I actually attempted suicide in my later teen years, and I was mad when I woke up. You know, I couldn't find prescription drugs around, so I took wherever I could find in the cabinet. And so that happened. And again, you know, still no one reached out to me and so forth. And so it wasn't until I was in California and I had my next inventory, and there was a major drug bust and drive my inventory up. And I discovered that I had an addiction. I mean, me having an addiction. That was crazy. I thought other people had addictions. I had an addiction. I started having the shakes and so forth. I said, oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I was through. That was my light bulb moment. But see, when I was a kid, I felt my whole life was micromanaged. It was very controlled by someone else. And I did not want anything to be controlling me now. Nothing to control me, you see? So I immediately went to a 12-step program. I detoxed, and I could not have any kind of desire. I said, no, I don't want this life anymore. Nothing will control this one. And so I submitted, and I was so motivated. I didn't have any help, didn't have anybody help me out. I went through it all by myself. You know, I didn't want to have this at all in my system. No, in my consciousness, nothing. So I went through it. And I came through on the other side and became a Muslim. So I went a different life entirely. And so I decided to give my life now to humanity. You know, instead of doing things for myself only, let me do something to help somebody else. Let me give to someone else so other people can have a good life. They can realize that they are gems. They are precious souls. They have excellence clocked into their nature. And Al-Islam, religion and way of life, you know, matched me exactly. You see, so I went to my Shahada, my declaration, and I lived the life as a Muslim. And became a mental health and drug counselor and director over youth programs and a training coordinator. And I developed programs and curriculum for peer counselors and started doing more in that area. I wanted to do more and more and more. So I wanted people to feel that they had a purpose and passion to be here. That's what I wanted. Yeah, that's what I want for everybody listening also. You have a passion and purpose of being here. And if I can provide tools for you to understand that you have greatness, you have excellence in you, God say he created you in the excellent mold, theory there. You are a perfect, if your name is Yahya, you're the perfect Yahya, perfect John, perfect Nazim, perfect Tom, yeah, perfect Sakina. Whatever you are, their mold you came through was a perfect mold. Absolutely, absolutely. So my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, serves as that tool. All right? Now I'm going to go back and retell the story. You heard the story as it was. Now, as I have reflect back on it as an observer, I see that there was this spirit, angel spirit called Nazim that was you know, that I was born with the boy called Ben, and he was watching, just watching, like a guardian angel, you know. Even though Ben had these depressive thoughts, suicidal thoughts, Nazim was ever watching, making sure he didn't go too far, you know. And he was right there making sure he didn't go too far, you know. And Watch knew that there would be a time when that Ben would become Nazim, and there would be one with gifts for the world. So he just watched, okay? Make sure he didn't get into much trouble here and there. And during drug years, Nazim was still right there, making sure he didn't go too far, like having a dog on a long leash kind of thing. You know, you have a lot of leeway, but you don't go too far out there. Because a lot of folks that was around him died when during that drug experience. You see, so the angel Nazim's watching. Okay, everything is okay. All right, then when Ben started going through his withdrawals and went through a 12-step program, got into a recovery program, that's when Nazim, you know, fused with Ben, and they became one. They became one, you see. So we all have guardian angels. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have guardian angels. You see, helping us and just guiding us along the way, little nudges here and there, so we don't get burnt and lose our way, you know. Yeah, you're here today as a testament to that. You didn't have to be here. You did not have to wake up this morning. But you did wake up. And because you did wake up, that means Allah has blessed you, God has blessed you for another day, resurrected you from the dead state of sleep. You see? Yes, yes, yes. Answer your prayers last night. Huh? Brought you out of darkness into the light. That's so, so important to understand that. Absolutely. So as you retell your story, retell your story with that guardian angel element involved there. Because if it wasn't for that, you would not be here today. All right? So my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, you know, provides those tools. All right? Now, the chapters are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions, 12 principles of recovery, which I'll talk about today, identifying and managing emotions, in the last chapter, how to be a mentor to a child self. And this last chapter I call my graduate level is teaching you how to go back in time. Yes, yes, yes. Going back in time where you can actually envision, okay, yourself as a mentor. Mentor to the, when I say child self, the self you once were, the little self when you once were. If your name is Shahida, just think about little Shahida and what little Shahida needed that didn't get from her parents. Hey, now you big Shahida, you'll be next door at the neighbor, and you'll be the friend and mentor, kind of like a godmother, you know, to little Shahida. And you imagine having sessions with your child self and helping her along the way, and straightening out the problems that Shahida has. The whole idea is to change those negative experiences into positive memories. So you change the script. Just change the scenarios. Yeah. Make sure you have your child selves back. The best way to start a process, like I tell my clients, is to get those little pictures of when you're real young and put them alongside your monitor. You know, somewhere close by where you see it all the time. And put love into those little eyes. Yes, yeah. Tell your child self you love her, you love him. Look into those eyes. Make sure you get pictures where those eyes are looking at you. That's how we start a process. Because a lot of us have a problem loving ourselves. We can't stand looking in the mirror. You know? If you look in the mirror and say, I love you. I love you. Let's see how that feels. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's very important because once you love yourself the way you are, you're actually loving God more because God created you. Yeah, in excellent mold, like I was just saying, like the scripture says. Yeah, yeah. So we got to understand that we have everything we need to have for the complete fulfillment of our lives. That's also in scripture. All right? Very important to understand that. Okay? So again, retell your story. When you're telling your story to people about all the things that happened, the knockout, drag out, incidents you had, retell it. The guardian angel in there, okay? because you made it through that till now. And that's the most important thing that's you need to focus on for sure. Okay? All right. Now, I've been doing this 12 Principles of Recovery series, and to catch people up, it's not about drugs and alcohol alone. Of course, it is about that too. Don't say I'm not talking about that. But it's a holistic kind of way of looking at recovery. Mm-hmm. Not just for you crackheads, you those who love drink that alcohol. It's also for healthy relationships, anger issues, food compulsion issues, you see, overeating, gambling, sexual, those who feel you got to control somebody, you got to micromanage your wife, got to micromanage your husband, got to beat them down, beat her down, make yourself feel big and important, huh? Big shot. It's for you too. It's time we have healthy, happy marriages out here. Healthy, happy lives. We don't need to have those old elements controlling our lives anymore. We can do it, cannot do, and who to be with, who not to be with. I'm arranging this marriage for you. Hey, no. No. Allah has created you in a special way. And there's no limit to what God has for you. There's no limitation. No limitation. Don't listen to those who say there's limitation. Even like relationships. What sisters might say, well, according to the stats, there's more sisters than brothers out here, so I gotta agree to share my man with two or three other sisters, and do it that way. No. There's no limitation. God has no limitation. Mm-mm. So don't say that. He's giving you a fountain of abundance. That's also in Scripture. There's no end, no limitation whatsoever. So don't think lack. Think prosperity. That's very important. All right? So everybody got that for the 12 steps. And after I finish this series, I'm going to go back and speak about relationships in specific and go through each 12 step. Here we go. 12 principles. Excuse me. I'll go to the 12 principles right now to catch everybody up. Number one, we allowed our lower selves to control us regarding our addiction and admitted that our lives thus have become unmanageable. Remember what I said about lower selves. You got a higher self and a lower self. When you say believe in yourself, believe in your higher self. Because a lot of us believe in our lower self, how we can steal better and name more babies out there that we're not going to take care of, and how we can knock over this bank. Yeah, that's believing in yourself too. Believing in your lower self. All right? So number one, we allowed our lower selves to control us regarding our addiction and admitted that our lives thus have become unmanageable. All right, number two, we believe that Almighty God, the power greater and outside of ourselves, can and will restore us to sanity. Good and well, the old life was insane. We want nothing to do with that again. Number three, we made a decision to submit our will and our lives to the will of Almighty God. Now, Muslims, those of you listening have no problem with that, because that's what, being Muslim is, submitting your will. You see? Yeah, but I'm talking to everybody, not just Muslims, talking to everybody out there. Yeah. All right? This is a universal show. Four, we make a searching and fearless emotional inventory of ourselves. This is one of the longest ones I have in this 12 principles when I break it down in the book. I talk about those character defects, like procrastination, being phony, lying, revenge, hatred, anger. Yeah, and how you need to identify yourself with these defects, and then ask God to remove them, and then replace them, because you can't just remove them. You create a void, and void creates a vacuum. It sucks in those character defects right back where they were before, you see? So you got to replace them and love what you're replacing. Now, don't say, I guess I got to replace that with unconditional love, Yeah, you're still tied into the character defect. What's going to happen? It's going to come right back. So love the positive attribute that you're replacing those character defects with. Love them. Identify with them. Yeah, internalize them and make them Yeah, create a welcome mat for those things, and no more for those character defects. Number four, number five, we admitted to God and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. We got to admit it. Now, this 12 principles is not the 12 steps of Alcoholic Anonymous. Very similar. Like in this one here, they say to admit to God and to someone else. Someone else. How you can trust that person with your personal stuff like that, being vulnerable? Now, you might not could do that. Maybe so, maybe no. So I don't have that. So I don't have powerlessness. I don't have that you're addicted for life. See, I don't have that here. Whereas 12 steps of Alcoholic Anonymous, they have those things in there. You're not powerless when you have choices. No, 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 no. Number six, we are entirely ready, after asking God for right guidance, to have God remove all our defects of character. Yeah, 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 yeah. Remember, this is part eight. You can go back to the series. Go into blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred, Imam Alfred, and you can scroll down and see all of my pictures there, 12 Principles of Recovery. The title is there. Click on those, hear them, download them, make CDs, burn CDs, share them, give them away as gifts. How about that? Yeah, free therapy. And the whole world is tuning in right now. So get yours. It's for you. All right? Number seven, we humbly and submissively ask God to remove our shortcomings. Very, very important. Number eight, we are to make a list of all people we have harmed and are willing to make amends to them all. Again, we are to make a list of all people we have harmed and we are willing to make amends to them all. Very difficult, this whole thing is not easy. This one especially is not easy, but this is what you got to do. You want the new life? This is what you got to do. You want to stop beating up your wife, beating up your husband? Huh? Procrastinating all the time, undependable, hitting that joint, hitting that line, that pipe, bottle. Angry, buttons get pushed all the time. He's tired of that life. This is what you have to do. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And you Muslims in Ramadan, it's a good time to do this. Yeah, yeah, make amends and get clean. Ramadan is about detoxing. Yeah, for sure. All right, number nine, we intend to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would bring harm to them, ourselves, or others. Very, very important. Very important. Number 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, properly admit it. That's right. That's right. You always got to make sure that, something doesn't creep back in your emotional inventory, like procrastination and hatred and revenge. When you kicked it out, it's kind of, they want to come back, but they like it there. Yeah, yeah, they've been there for a long time. So you always got to, inspect your pantry and see what's there. 11, we seek through prayer, meditation, and studying God's way to improve our conscious contact with God and to improve our love and respect of God, praying. See, praying for the power to carry God's will out in our lives. I talked about that last week, meditation. A lot of us don't meditate. You see, we got to quiet our souls, clean the slate, get rid of all the chatter and that stuff going on. Focus on one thing, focus on Allah, free Muslims. That's my mantra. I say Allah over and over and over. Yeah, 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 clear mind. And then that's how Allah speaks. He'll start depositing little things during that period of time. Yeah, depositing those things into you, ideas and hunches and so forth. Yeah. 12. We're going to talk about 12 today. Have increased our level of faith in God consciousness as a result of applying these principles. We are carrying this message to humanity, and we begin practicing these principles in all our affairs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This one that where you are community conscious. Yeah, and that's so very important. So very important. Okay, so that's where we are right now. And by the way, let me set up the chat room for those who want to leave questions or comments if you're listening online. Under the picture, my picture and email, Alfred's picture, you'll see a little box. That's the chat room. So you can type in questions and comments right there. So I just opened the chat room just now, so it's open, so you can do that there. Mm-hmm. And if you have questions or you want to participate in the conversations, all you have to do is hit the number 1 on your telephone, and I'll see that. Bring you in on a conversation, we can have a nice dialogue. Okay? All right. Now, last week we talked about Principle 11. Okay? And Principle 11, matter of fact, I'm turning to it right now. We seek through prayer, meditation, and studying God's way to improve our conscious contact with God and to prove our love and respect of God, praying for the power to carry God's will out in our lives. Yeah, this 11th principle is the first step that actually tells how to ask for God's help. We have heard of meditation and prayer, but might not have a correct concept of useful meaning. Prayer is simply an earnest request to God and an intimate dialogue of gratitude statements. Simply stated, we are talking to God in our own quiet place, space, and language, and asking him for knowledge of his will and to give us the power to carry that will out. We can't hear God's answers if we are preoccupied with our own thinking. Yeah, for sure. All right? So I talked about that quite a bit last week in meditation and breathing deeply. Yeah, that's right. And importance of reflecting on God all throughout the day. You see, yeah, for sure. So that's real important. And if you Muslims, we call it thicker. That means we're reflecting on God constantly. That's why a lot of us have thicker beads, you know. And that's so important. So important. All right? And, yeah, so I went through all that. And I talked about God's attributes, like the attributes of As-Salam, which source of peace. And for us to understand that when you're studying God's way, we look at his attributes. Yeah, for sure. And we try to mimic those in our lives as much as we can, like love, for instance. This is a very good concept that has tremendous benefits. The first metaphor comes to mind is the sun. The sun provides light and energy for everyone. A nice little rhyme there, huh? This is a great symbol of God's love for us and a great way for us to reflect this way in our own lives. Just as the sun shines on everyone, our love shouldn't be just relegated to a certain number of class of people. Our love should be for all humanity. Even with the sun metaphor, someone could run indoors or hide themselves from the sun and not receive the benefits of the sun. Mm-hmm. Some people can reject your love for them openly or subtly. Their rejection or your thinking that certain ones will not accept your universal love should not concern you. You still put your love out there with your smiles, well wishes, and God's forgiveness for them, just like the sun. Your love is there for everyone and every living thing. When you see flowers along the side of the road, your love goes out to them. When you see horses play amongst each other in the corrals, your love goes out to them. When you see people who are against everything that you represent, your love still goes out to them, for it is not those people you are trying to please. It is God that you are aiming to please. So we honor the spirit of love by demonstrating it in all areas of our lives. We love the spirit of life, and that spirit of life resides in all, yes, that's right, including those who are transgressing their own souls with their internalized negativity. We know all know people like that, don't we? We're naturally going to show more love to those that return love toward us, but we don't want to hoard all good feelings when we are around the negative ones. We want to always show our best, for we don't know when those other people might be in a space and place to receive some goodness from us. So, whenever that might happen, we want to be ready with our love shining before us. Yes. There's also the love of our inner self that needs some attention here. This inner self has needs, and when those needs are not met, we feel the negative results. such as confusion, anger, abuse towards self and others, addictions, failed relationships, missed opportunities in life, sometimes poverty, low self-confidence, suicidal ideations, yeah, like I was feeling, man, lost sense of ourselves in life. Okay? The inner child, that's the innocent child self, you know, child spirit within us, and our child self, man, there's two different things. Child self is that flesh and blood person that you once were. Okay? They need to be honored, respected, loved unconditionally, fed positive affirmations on a daily basis, and protected from harm. When this is done, that same inner child rewards us with confidence. The rewards don't stop there. We also get better relationships, both personal and professional, better opportunities, higher education, and more respect from our peers. We have that special smile when we look into the mirror and thanking God for what he has given us, the skin we are in, the personality that we have, and the soul that fills us from within. Oh, yes. When others might attempt to disrespect us with their misdirected mannerisms, we just deflect the energy elsewhere, and we do not let that affect or nor disrupt our spirit. Every time we do that, our inner child smiles and rewards us with good feelings all over. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yeah. So you can't have the new life while you're still holding on to the old one. Let me say it again. You can't have the new life when you're still holding on to the old one. Let it go. And then hold on to that which gives you life. Yeah. You cannot pray for the power to carry out God's will for you when you are not willing to let go of the so-called power that you have now. You're holding on to the ways of the old self creates the blockage that prevents God's spirit to come into your life. Yeah, did you know that? Man, once you remove the blockage, you then allow the gates to open up. Invite and encourage God to enter your soul. Make a home there and start directing your life. God is now the pilot, oh yes, with you as the co-pilot, worthy co-pilot, riding along with your inner spirit, both helping you in all areas of your life. Now you know you have the power to carry God's will out in your life because God dwells inside, is welcome there, along with a sense of deeply felt peace. Wow, did y'all hear that? Man, that feels good to me. Man, I got a chill just then. Boy, deeply felt peace. So many of us have missed the boat here, you know. Call ourselves Muslims, call ourselves Christians, and call ourselves these different religious titles. And we have no clue how to live the kind of life according to what God wants for us. It's like a social club for a lot of us. You know, we got to stop that. Yeah. Okay, now we're in principle 12. Have increased our love of faith and God consciousness. As a result of applying these principles, we are carrying this message to humanity, and we begin practicing these principles in all our affairs. Okay. All right. This is very important, you know, for those who have gone through something or gone through something and you want the new life. Where you start, instead of looking in, you got to start looking out. How can you serve humanity? How can you make someone else's day better? After our faith in God consciousness has been increased from applying these principles in our lives, we are ready to spread the word and carry this message to humanity. Yeah. We can't keep this new way of life to ourselves. No, we can't do that. No. Like a hot potato. You know when you got a little game, you know, you pass hot potato around? As soon as you get it, you got to pass it on. Why? Because it will burn you if you hold on to it. Yeah. Well, God gave you this information to give to others. That's why he gave it to you in the first place. He wants you to give it to other people. Share it. Yeah, we can't keep this new way of life to ourselves. No, we can't do that. Mm-mm. In order for us to get more blessings from God, we have to give what he has given us to others. This is what is described in his 12th principle. Hear this, please. We don't want to limit our sharing to just other addicts. There's a whole world out there that has no idea of how to lead a wonderful life free of confusion, fear, and depression. Man, the general populace has given themselves to greed by any means necessary, lust, dominance over others, and worldly power. As we are practicing and sharing these principles in our lives, we ensure our own sobriety. As we are leading by example, we are demonstrating what faith can produce. Man, that's what you want to know. In your life, what can faith produce in you? That's the question you should ask yourself, and ask that today. Allah, what can faith produce in me? Ponder on that one. When you have an increased level of faith, your possibilities and probabilities also increase. You reach new levels of relaxation that you have never known before. You can relax more because you have a deeper sense of security and comfort. With a higher level of faith comes a higher level of self-esteem and self-worth. You really believe now that you can accomplish more, give more, and be more for yourself and others. As your faith increases, you get more ideas as to how you can spread this faith to others. You can't be satisfied with just having new faith, living a clean and sober life, being consistently honest with yourself and others, witnessing beauty everywhere, being naturally empathic and compassionate with others, displaying love without conditions. You see, you have to share, affecting and influencing those around you to do the same thing. Yeah. New faith cannot stay dormant. Wow. New faith is like some kids we know with ADD or ADHD in the classroom. They can't sit still for any length of time. And we all know some kids like that, don't we? New faith is a very active spirit. It needs adventure to remain solvent. The new internal faith spirit is saying, hey, this is a good space to dwell in. Now let's see whom we can influence. Well, we have so much to give, and our giving is endless as we came from source energy, came from God, that is ever abundant. Who is ready out here to receive this energy? Who has a soul that is ripe for this kind of nurturing? Who has the matching need for us right now? End quote. Yeah. You see, new faith expands your mind and creates within a no-limit mentality. Hear that? No limit. No limit mentality. Man, hear that. Bless you sisters out there think that there's a limitation on the brothers. You know, you can't find a husband. No limit mentality. You become unstoppable and determined to succeed. Your spirit goes out before you and affects others as they notice something about you that seems intriguing and attractive. You carry an aura of confidence, oh yes, and security, which is attractive to employers, corporations, business ventures, also relationships. Optimism becomes your creed, and serving others becomes a priority for you. In serving others, your own faith increases along with your resources. Being God conscious, taqwa for you Muslims out there, being God conscious, you are going to think and act as if you are on camera and everything you do is on record, because it really is called the security cameras, divine security cameras. Yeah, believers know that the divine security camera and microphone are always running, recording every event. There is no place where we can hide. We can't go in a back alley somewhere with our little brown paper bag and take a drink, thinking that no one will see us and continue to talk clean while living dirty. It's old saying there. We can't harbor those jealous thoughts, angry thoughts, hatred thoughts, thoughts of getting high, and ego-centered thoughts, and justify to ourselves, well, I didn't act on these thoughts and create harm to anyone. I didn't tell these thoughts to anyone, so it's okay. No. You are putting a burden on your mind and soul. Your soul is very precious and should have all the considerations we can give it. When we harbor deleterious thoughts, we only do harm and disrespect to that inner child. Mm-hmm. We can't keep those thoughts chained up in one place. You can't do that. No. All thoughts are energy. And energy will not rest in just one place. Now we deposit love, and that is what we get back. When love is demonstrated easily and naturally, it is because thoughts of love were already planted with that inner child. To being God conscious, we are going to monitor our thoughts on a regular basis and be more conscious that we're acting more from our rational thinking versus our emotional responding. Whew, did you catch that one? We cannot carry this message to humanity if it is evident that all 12 principles are not internalized. You can't just skip around, you know. Well, I don't like number 3. I like 4. I don't like number 6. I'll skip over 9. No. We have to accept the whole package and not just the parts that we can digest at the moment. No, can't do that. We have to accept the whole concept, even when certain principles are very challenging for us to emulate. Mm-mm. We have to have a warm welcome mat for all 12 principles in our soul. Only when all 12 principles are creating new energy within and the great transformation has taken place can we be in the position of modeling and mentoring to others. Now, there's one caveat here, all right? Hear this. Along the way of this recovery process, we can always help others when we can shed some understanding about these principles. Say if you are in principle 5 and someone else is struggling with principle 3, then of course you can and should help them. We always have in mind that as we climb up the ladder, we pull others up with us. We should be thinking like that all the time anyway. They're trying to step over somebody to get ahead. Huh? As you climb up, pull up. Yeah. Don't say I'm going to get mine first. As you climb up, pull up. Bring somebody with you. Yeah. Now, when we are in the position of teaching the 12 principles and modeling the 12 principles, it requires a different kind of mindset. We're now modeling the whole program and are viewed by others as an example of one who has come through the transforming portal and one who we can look upon as a recovery success story. Okay? And when you read, begin practicing these principles in all our affairs, you see the answer as to how you are to carry the message to humanity. See, you have to live this new way of life called sobriety, called Al-Islam, by following, accepting the principles deep within and acting in a way that demonstrates that you have these principles solidly implanted into your consciousness. That's so important. I said Al-Islam in there for a reason. You know, so many times, you know, y'all can bear witness to this. You know, Muslims, Christians, all of you, Buddhists, Hindus, it applies to everybody. Go to the masjid. You go to your place of worship. And people are all so holy there. They speak the right language, and they give you the right hugs and smiles and all that. You see them a few days later at the grocery store, complete different person, complete different spirit. See, we got to have a warm place in our heart for this way of life called Islam, if you're a Muslim. We got in this Ramadan now, you see? Ramadan now. So you're not eating or drinking during the day. You're praying more, reflecting on what God has done for you, being more appreciative, giving to others. If you can't, you know, do Ramadan because of, you know, a medication or other things, you got to take food in, then you're more conscious of who needs help out here, and you're feeding the homeless, feeding somebody. Yeah, look for someone to feed out there. It helps us. It really does help us. So you have to, you know, you have to live this life. Got to be inside of you. You have to live these principles, and anybody observing you for any length of time can bear witness to the new you. The new you. They see a consistent pattern of behavior that is the opposite of how you used to act. Your hobbies are different. Your circle of friends is different. Your language is different. Your style of clothes is even different. Your chosen type in women or men is different. Yeah. Like different kinds of mates than you did before in that dark life. The food choices you have are now more international. Before, you used to like, fried chicken and hamburgers all the time. Now you like tabbouleh and hummus. Oh, jerk chicken. Ooh. Like those things now. The avocado sandwiches. They like those things now. Interesting. Yeah. Falafels. Yeah. You wouldn't think about those kind of things before. Yeah, your conversation is definitely different. Your general understanding and problem solving is different. Your whole demeanor is different. The energy about you is different. People can see it all around you. It's different. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, like I said before, in case those that didn't hear the first time, if you want to participate in this conversation, ask questions or have comments, just hit number one on your telephone, and I'll bring you right in on the switchboard, and we'll have a nice little talk here, okay? Those listening online can participate by putting questions or comments on the chat board that's right under my picture and email Alfred's picture, okay? So you can do it that way, too. All right? Yeah, this is Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected. And I'm reading and expounding on the chapter in my book called 12 Principles of Recovery. All right? Okay, people are most influenced by the example that they are witnessing versus the rhetoric that they hear from you. Many people are looking for another way to live life because they know that there has to be a different way than the way that they are used to. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm so glad, on Facebook I see other Muslims who are personal development specialists. You know, I'm one. I like to see others. Because the best personal growth book we know is the Quran. I'm glad to see that more of us are getting out there, getting known in the general population. Yeah, making speeches at corporations and schools and community centers and getting your name out there so people can see you have found it. You found that light, the divine light, and it's shining inside. They want some of that. Yeah, yes, yes, yes. It's good, good, good. Yeah, yeah. Folks are open for change and are eager for someone to come along and show them an alternative lifestyle. Yes, that's right. You know it's right. With the status quo in the world of corruption, theft, homicides, infidelity in relationships, lies, and immorality, people are looking for someone to show them a way out. It is a very easy mission to carry this message to humanity when the current messages that are presented today have no or very little desirable end results. Yeah. See, I was so moved by my own personal experience in this 12 Principles of Recovery program that I had to take on professional positions that allowed me to be in a directing, teaching, or coordinating role so I could teach these principles to others. That's what I went through when I went through my recovery about 33 years ago. Praise the Lord. For my entire semi-adult and young mid-20s life, had only one thing that I was going to do, and that was to play music professionally. Yeah, I'm a jazz musician now, still. That's all I had in mind, though, just to do that. There was nothing you could tell me that would make me think otherwise. I dream music, ate music, romance music, and I work music. Playing in the band was paradise for me, and I saw nothing else in life that I remotely wanted to do. But as I went through the Torah Principle program, I started having different visions of my life. Yeah. See, when your self-esteem, self-image, and self-worth all start rising, you will look into the mirror and see a new person with different life possibilities and probabilities. You will see a whole new world available for you. There will be life vocations that you never would have considered before. See, when you start thinking outside of yourself and let the spirit of empathy come in, your mind starts turning differently. Now you start thinking about how you can make changes so people can benefit and experience the rewards of life instead of the punishments of life. Yeah. You start asking yourself, what can I do to make someone else's life more meaningful? Yeah. These are questions you ask yourself now. What can I do to show someone a different way to live life so that life has real purpose for them? What can I do for our children to raise their self-esteem levels so they won't have to fall in the black holes that I fell into? How can I put in place a model of recovery and a platform for our youth so they can help other troubled young ones? How can I help parents raise their kids differently, empowering them with resiliency skills, problem-solving skills, empathy skills, communication and listening skills, goal-setting skills, financial management skills, man, so important, social skills, production skills, spiritual connection skills. Now, how many of us were taught this? You know, my long-range goal is the STAR Foundation, the Nazim Rashid Foundation, and its emphasis will be on financial intelligence and personal growth for African-American boys. Personal growth, financial intelligence, and business skills so they can learn how to set their own business, what it takes, accounting and all that. Understand the bull and bear market out there, stock market. Understand all that so they have a real crisp idea of how they can establish themselves financially for themselves and families and be an example for others to do the same thing. We need to change the financial intelligence of our community. We got to think about money differently. After all, yeah, we see other people doing it. We can do the same thing, but we got to change the way we think. Yeah. So all these areas, these developmental areas, will make a positive difference for youth personally and in their communities. Okay? All right. Now, while I was in college, majoring in music education, and after finishing my recovery program, I took on a job at a mental health recreational facility where I was employed to conduct group discussions to get the clientele there to socialize and talk about something positive instead of dwelling in their dark mental state. Before my recovery program, I would never have considered doing anything like this, surrounded by these quote-unquote crazy people. Now that my mindset is open to helping others, I had a great opportunity to learn just how to help and make a difference. So I showed no reluctance in accepting that position. Now, before the position, I had absolutely no background in mental health, social services, or psychology. I was just a jazz musician. But I guess they saw my sincerity in wanting to help, so they hired me anyway as a job development counselor. Yeah, how about that? See, the objective was to teach clients to learn any kind of skill, such as socializing appropriately, sweeping the floor, helping serve one another. So in my brand new Islamic religious services at the time, I was a brand new Muslim, we were encouraged to take notes as if we were in a college lecture hall. So I always had my little pen and pad on me, you know? So learning from this format fosters more growth than all during the week, yeah. So when it came time to write something on the board to start group discussions, well, I just pulled out my notepad and wrote subjects such as life, health, family, production, food, nutrition, etc., you know? In this process, I discovered not only a dormant desire and talent as a result of the 12 principles, but the talent to guide people along so their thinking goes in the direction of health, truth, and light. It was then that I started studying psychology and counseling skills independently. I was so grateful to God for saving me from the dark life of drugs and ego orientation that I wanted to be known as a model for change in this new life of light, hope, and universal love. In this way, I will be giving back to God. So I became a counselor, a case manager in the mental health field, studying and working with clients suffering from clinical depression, audio and visual hallucinations, and a wide array of disorders. And a lot of people in our communities, our congregations have this right now. My understanding of those disorders made me feel even more grateful that God has saved me. I could have been one of those people. Yeah, doing drugs like I was doing. I thought on many occasions that I could have fallen into one of those holes and have been a client in this mental health system. That's right. I wanted to help. And as I did, as my understanding and education grew, as my research continued, and as I interacted with them while acting as empathically as possible. After this experience, I was hired as a trained coordinator at a homeless self-help center in San Francisco. Yeah. It was there that I went through the certification process to become a conflict resolution trainer. I learned techniques in communication, listening skills, and peer counseling certification, which I've done many, many times, many years. This is also the time during which I started conducting training sessions and had to feel comfortable in public speaking. I was so terrified of this. Man, I was terrified and told myself that these people, being down and out, crackheads and, you know, homeless, nodding out and all that, you know, being down and out and appreciative of anything anybody would do for them, you know, would certainly not be critical of my inept abilities as a speaker or trainer. I looked out there and people were kind of out of it, so I said to myself, how can you be nervous? You can do this. So that's how I got my start. So I started recording my voice at home as I practiced my lines and even had someone videotape my sessions so I could learn from them. I eventually improved a little here and there and designed a peer counseling certification curriculum that was used to make sure that the peer counselors there had some measurable skills as they were in a position of helping other homeless clients. I was also in a good position to see the need for the 12 principles in their lives. I witnessed so much hurt, denial, drug abuse, conning mentalities, sexually confusing lifestyles, oh yeah, San Francisco, extremely low self-esteem, self-image, and poor social skills. I said to myself on many occasions, I have my work cut out for me, oh yeah, that's for sure. I always kept the 12 principles in mind as I designed programs and counseled with clients. I used those principles everywhere possible since I knew that when internalized, change is inevitable. That's the whole idea. You got to internalize this stuff. You know, we hear people hear good coupons, hear good lessons, good teachings from the pulpit. You know, if you don't internalize the principles, they mean nothing in your life, nothing. Yeah. You got to have that warm heart for this message. And I'm telling you. During the same time, I started conducting 12-step workshops at Haight-Ashbury Clinic in San Francisco and developed a 12-step manual which broke down each step into workable lessons. This was my way of demonstrating the 12th principle, quote, having increased our level of faith in God consciousness as a result of applying these principles, we are carrying this message to humanity and begin practicing these principles in all our affairs, end quote. It is in the teaching of these principles where real learning takes place. And that's right. You don't really learn until you teach. That's right. When I'm in a teaching mode, I envision myself sitting out there, listening and learning. This is when real growth happens, as my mind is tuned to the listening, learning, and receiving channel. See, you can't receive anything if you're not tuned in, right? Yeah, you got to be open or it will not come in. Mm-hmm. So I became a director of a neighborhood organizing project where I established neighborhood family and business associations. These associations acted as block watch groups but much more. Oh, yeah. The objective was to have and maintain drug-free zones. One of the ways of achieving this was to conduct various workshops to assist with healing community members. These workshops were in the areas of domestic violence, street drug information, and street drug information, 12-step programs, and communication and listening skills. Referrals were given to those who wanted additional and personal assistance. Through this organization, we closed crack houses and united communities that had been devastated by the ruling drug culture. Yeah, more of my background. Mm-hmm. I later became a director of a youth organization in Oakland, where I trained a number of teenagers to become teachers and conflict resolution trainers. I set up in park and recreation centers. I set them up at park and rec centers, group homes, and even at juvenile hall. Yeah, I did that. They conducted their own workshops and classes, creating miracles with other kids. Oh, yeah. Yep. Thanks to the Lord, I did that. They learned how to start support groups, communication and listening skills, 12-step workshops, and conflict resolution. In the beginning, the kids weren't as attentive, distracting one another and pretending to get it when I looked at them. Yeah. It was in the stage when they had to role play in front of the class that they then got serious. It was in the teaching phase where they really started learning and where real change within started. That's what I'm saying, see. You want to learn something, you got to teach it. Even Prophet Muhammad said, peace be upon him, said, you learn one letter, teach that. Yeah. It is important to remember that last point. It is when you are in the position of teaching these 12 principles that you really learn them yourself. You're less likely to relapse in your thinking or behavior when you are in the teaching mode. Hence, another benefit. Yeah. Teaching helps you ensure your own recovery. Now, after going through something so monumental as these 12 principles, you need to find somebody or class somewhere and start sharing and teaching. Of course, you have to be first, to be comfortable in modeling this new behavior, lifestyle, and, all that. But after this, find a way to share your newfound truth. These 12 principles of recovery, as stated before, are not relegated to just a recovering addict. You can interject all sorts of character defects that people own and go through the same process. If someone was a compulsive disorder candidate or anyone who had a strong drive to control others, dominate others' lives, abuse others, and berate those closest to them on a regular basis, then they can go through these principles. If someone had lying as their addiction and created harm in their own and others' lives, they qualify for this kind of recovery program. Yeah. You can put stealing, infidelity, and family neglect there also. Mm-hmm. The spirit of overconsuming lurks around even after the addict goes through this or other recovery programs. Yeah. The addict does not have the word moderation in their vocabulary. I know that's right. Not at least in the same sense that the non-addict understands it. When the average non-drinker sees a glass of wine as a single indulging moment of relaxation, the addict sees instead the whole bottle as a way of escaping to the place of bliss. The non-addict would have a can of beer and be satisfied after work at the happy hour bar, where the addict will envision the whole six-pack before his level of satisfaction is reached. In the same sense, the non-addict will eat a single bowl of ice cream and be done, where the addict will consume the whole carton and see nothing wrong with it. Yeah. When finishing an alcohol recovery program, the addict might very well become now a smoking addict or an overeating addict. You see, if the spirit of addiction is not addressed correctly, the addict will take that same addictive spirit and replace the substance with another substance. This is why at 12-step meetings, you see chain smokers along with chain coffee drinkers go from one addiction to another. Yeah. Now, after we rid ourselves of the addictive substance, we create an emotional void that must be filled. Please hear that. If we don't fill that void, very quickly, our old self will and knows how to do that. Having God in our lives, directing us and giving us his attributes for us to reflect, fills all the voids. We just had to be conscious, consciously perform the acts of prayer, meditation, and affirmations on daily and multi-daily basis, envisioning our new life, new thoughts, feelings, and deeds. All right, after a while, these acts become second nature and automatic because we're now aligning our consciousness with our God spirit within. Once this happens, we have truly crossed over into our transformed life with our different habits, tastes, thoughts, desires, entertainment, and relationships. Mm-hmm. Now you can see, as you're using this information to better equip yourself in mentoring your child self within, that's what I talk about in the book, you cannot grow and evolve if you don't go through this reconciling process. You got to clean that stuff up, man. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters out there, you got to clean it up. If you went through some of the previously mentioned character defects and addictions and you did not reconcile that lifestyle, you have a real emotional void in your consciousness that's probably causing you some level of harm. Sure it is. If this is the case for you, then this method of going back in your history to that time before you took on this harmful mindset is very important. Yeah, I keep talking about going back. You might be confused, especially if you just tuned in. Well, my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, talks about how you can go back. Gives you the tools on how you can do that. So you feel a little, you know, like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I talk about this a lot in early programs, plus at the beginning of this show. That's what you got to get the book there, you know. By the way, I'll do a little commercial now for it, I guess. You can get this on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you have Kindle or Nook, yeah, you can get it on e-book fashion that way. It only costs about $8, I guess, that way. The hard copy costs about $20. It's a 412-page, 14-chapter human manual. So it's a pretty nice-sized book. Yeah, getting about $20 there. If you live by a Barnes & Noble store, you can go right in the store. Yeah, just traipse on in there and ask somebody at the front desk. They might have it on the shelf. If they don't, they can order it for you. And if you live in any other parts of the world, you know, you order it online or you can go to your local bookstore and they can order it since it's on the Barnes & Noble catalog. You can get it that way. I've taught people in Indonesia before and some people in Germany have it now. Yeah, and very important. And my site, cloudsofabundance.com, after the three W's we have. cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. You can order that way. There's an order button on the products page. So all kind of ways you can get it. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, my page, cloudsofabundance.com. Get the book. It's very important. Very important. Very important. All right? I'm Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected. And my show, The Reconnected Show, comes on every Saturday. From 11 o'clock Mountain and Pacific Time and 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can call 347-994-2524 at 2 o'clock if you're on the East Coast. Like you're doing now, just tune in and listen. I host that program. I don't talk like I'm doing now. I'm just hosting. That's why I love my time here on Wednesdays. I can talk about the message in my book myself, whereas on Saturdays I'm just hosting. Okay? If you want to tune in online, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. And if you want to email me, go to nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. One more time, nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right, so I do want to hear from you. I want to see how you're doing with all this information. Very important, okay? Because recovery is serious. You know, yeah, you gotta hold on to what's giving you life, not what's taking life away. You see? Yeah, for sure. That's very, very important, you know. And when you go back in time, and you want to try and take care of some of these negative, you know, negative voices that are talking to you, you see, you know, just go back and see when the problem started. Like if your addictions or defects started at age 12, and you go back a few years, maybe to age 9 and see what you were thinking about then. Yeah, what were you thinking about at 9? Maybe at 9 you needed your father more in your life and he was absent. When he came around, he was drunk and arguing with your mother. See, if at age 8 your father was there in a healthy way, then at age 9 is where you need to, where you start this virtual mentoring process. You see? Right when your thinking becomes unhealthy is when you start this process of mentoring your child self, going back in time and doing this. Now, remember, you can't get what you don't have. So before you do this, you got to go through all the chapters, you know, from I talked about this before. See, I'll do it now again. I'll go through the chapters. Okay? All right. Forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, image, communication, listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions, 12 principles of recovery, identifying and managing emotions, how to be the mentor to your child self. See, the last one, chapter 14, how to be a mentor to your child self is the last chapter. So before you can actually go back and do this, they call it virtual mentoring process, you got to go through all the 13 chapters first. So it takes a while. Like I said, you can't get what you don't have. So now, you know, you can't imagine doing that now to your child self because, you know, you got a lot of damage, you got a lot of garbage you got to clean up first. You got a lot of negative voices still on you. You might have some old bad habits you haven't kicked yet. You know, so you, of course you can't do it now. But I'm looking at the future after you go through the process and clean yourself up. Yeah. Now, some people say after they clean up, I might not need to go back. Well, maybe you might not. But it's fun to go through the process. You know, you have fun with your child self and start talking to your child self and you know, make sure your child self has your back, you know, a lot of those things. And, yeah, it's fun. All right? Very important, okay? So understand that. So when I talk about, you know, when you go back in time through and kind of, you know, time when you cause problems for yourself, or when things happen to you, then you realize you have to go through the first 13 chapters first, okay? All right, you can choose to not go through certain negative events, or you can go through them with different outcomes. You know, you can choose the latter. You can use the event as a lesson to learn from. For example, if you start smoking marijuana at age 13, went to alcohol by age 14, cocaine by age 16, and psychedelic drugs by age 19, and caused hurt all along the way, you could choose to stop in your inner virtual world your activities at cocaine level and change the outcomes with healthy interventions. All this you do on your own, you know. They're all done by you, the mentor, with sound advice presenting another way to live life, to intervene with your child self. Now, you don't have to relive all the dark events first and then redo them all emotionally. Remember, the objective is to fill the emotional voids in your past by creating different scenarios so the outcomes are different. See, you are rewriting the script. You redo whatever you need to redo. You have to keep in mind that you are going to feel and experience everything from a healthy perspective, not one of confrontation or reliving the horror and bringing those demons out in front of you again. See, everything experiences from the perspective of the healthy third party, the mentor, you, the fictional character, you. These principles are basic truths. This program is based on the truth that addicted people can recover from their fallen human condition by following these suggested principles. These principles are designed to keep us clean and sober. They're also designed to keep us free, designed to free us of our shame, worry, false pride, stubbornness, and fears. Principles are also beliefs for us. In this way, these 12 principles become a way of life. We will realize and see how our lives have become unmanageable, how we listened to the wrong voices within us, how we came to believe that submission and admission are attributes that are worth having, how we realize that serving and helping others is important. Okay? Now I close this chapter with a quote from President Barack Obama. He said, find somebody to be successful for. Find somebody to be successful for. People are looking for mentors out there, y'all. Okay? You be the mentor for them. First to your own child self. Okay? All right. Now I'm going to stop right there and close out. And next week, we're going to go back to the 12 principles and specifically talk about marriages. Yeah, we're going to do that. We need help. Too many of us are getting married repeatedly and repeating the same mistakes from the previous marriages, not learning, always blaming the spouse. Well, she did this or he did that. That's what happened. Not owning up to anything that you did. And you don't get another one that's a little different, but see, you still carry the same baggage, the same biases, same judgments, same closed-mindedness, huh? Yeah, with you all along the way. So you got to realize that it's you. You're the common denominator there. So when you have, if you want to have a different marriage, you have to change you. You have to change how you think. How you think becomes you. What you think about, you bring about. If you think negative, you're going to bring about negative. Huh? Absolutely. If you're in mind you want someone you can't control, that thought will come back to haunt you. Control nobody but yourself. You know, I got to control my wife. I got to control my husband. He better not do that. She better not do that. Wait till I see her. You have a miserable life like that. Miserable life. So that's what we're going to do for sure. We need help. We need to have happy, healthy marriages. When you see your mate, you smile. You have a good time. You have fun. You dance together. You sing together. Huh? Go to concerts and hold hands. Love being next to your wife, your husband. Love that experience. Just feel the energy when you touch one another. Love that. Love that. Be a ball of energy, of love, and let others see that. And what happens, it can be contagious. Other people will feel that love, and God willing, inshallah, be more loving themselves. Love that. Love that. It's okay, you know. And don't say, well, I got to get married because I'm supposed to be married, you know. Well, if you get married with that kind of attitude, believe me, it's going to be short-lived. And everybody will be miserable. Yeah. Get married for the right reasons. That's very, very important. Very, very important. You know. So we're going to talk about that for sure next week. All right. So we're going to close out now. But I want to make sure everybody understands that that we're going to continue this discussion and have the best marriages for sure, you know, right? And I guess I'll title it the Relationships and Recovery. That's a good title, I guess, huh? Relationships and Recovery. So, again, when you call in next time, make sure that you know you can always push number one to be a part of the show, ask questions, and be a part of the show for sure. And if you want, and get my book, you know, go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, My Clouds of Abundance. Get it. It'd be the best $20 you invested. Absolutely, for this 412-page human manual, okay? A teacher's manual, parent's manual, relationship manual, mentor's manual, and addiction recovery manual. Manual for the transformation of your negative experiences into positive memories, learning how to love yourself on a deep level and create the life you've always desired. It's time we have this time for the new you. So I'm giving you principles where you can make that happen for yourself. Okay? All right, okay. So with that in mind, you can always, I'll repeat my email, nrbookclub@gmail.com. You can always email me, ask me questions, and I can help you through the book. If you have the book now, we can talk about it, and I can help you through it. You know, if you want me to be a client of mine, I do life coaching. You can do that, too, by emailing me. We do life coaching on the phone. Absolutely. So no problem. So we can talk about all those possibilities, okay? It's time to have a good life. Have fun. You know, smile every day. Make someone else's day better. You know, you shouldn't go to sleep unless someone that day is smiling because of something they've done with you, some kind of interaction with you. Absolutely, okay? Keep that in mind, all right? So I close the show out like I always have, like I started, with a peace that only God has with you. Assalamu alaikum.